Okay, so we welcome you back to Radio Islam International. We have about 20 minutes left before the hour of 10. Now, the third part of the Adl and Ihsan equation, that's what we're going to take a look at today. So, in our recent discussions on Islamic professional ethics, we have been discussing the IOFI Code of Ethics, which can be adopted by Muslim businesses, accounting and legal firms to direct management and staff in adhering to the highest Islamic standards. Now, we last discussed the second of four parts of the Adl and Ihsan equation. So, today we take a look at the third component, which is doing the right thing in the right manner. So we welcome Mulana Safwan Aflaki, a Sharia advisor at Al Baraka Bank. Mulana is also the founder of Deen Pro, and Mulana will continue the discussion with us. Mulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
We hope that you're well, Mulana.
Alhamdulillah.
So Mulana is... We have went through the first two discussions. Mulana has given us a very beautiful explanation, taking us through this Adl and Ihsan equation. Today we reached the third component of the Adl and the Ihsan equation, and that is about doing the right thing in the right manner. Now, what are the ethical virtues that this is based on?
This third component of doing the right thing in the right manner is based on one ethical virtue, and that is the ethical virtue of quwwah. Quwwah means strength. And in the context of doing a job or carrying out a certain function or acting as a businessman, it would mean to equip yourself with all the necessary skills, expertise, and knowledge in order to carry out your function in the best possible manner. Very broadly, it means to have the proficiency to carry out one's duties in the best manner whilst managing yourself, managing those under your care, and at the same time being compliant with all the laws of Sharia and any other laws which are applicable whilst constantly trying to improve. So if you look at the definition, the way quwwah is applied in the context of the Adl and Ihsan equation, it's quite broad, and it basically encapsulate all aspects of doing things in the perfect manner and striving to improve going forward.
Yes, well, that is an important basis from which we can look at further aspects related to this. What are some of the common violations of quwwah that occur in the workplace?
Based on the various components which I mentioned, just to go through a few of them. The first is proficiency. So the common violations of this aspect is where you find ineptitude, which means that the staff member lacks in skill or ability required to perform the task for which you are hired. So it's very important to ensure that a person doesn't over-advertise themselves and exaggerate the skills that they have, because they may get hired for a job which they are not proficient in. Another violation which sometimes we may fall into is indolence, being lazy or idle, having poor work output, lacking in attention to detail, improper record keeping and incomplete documentation, procrastination, indecisiveness, unpreparedness. These are all examples of not being proficient. And we speak about it quite formally in the context of the Code of Ethics, but undoubtedly, all these aspects are encouraged in the Sunnah of Rasulullah and in the Holy Quran. The second component is that of compliance, and here we find that we are required to adhere to the laws of Allah, the Sharia, and we are also required to adhere to any other applicable laws to ensure that we are not acting illegally in whatever capacity we are serving. And just some examples of violations in this regard is to engage, obviously, in any illegal action such as bribery, etc. Or alternatively, another example is insubordination, which is something which, you know, sometimes people find it difficult to accept orders from a senior, and they are openly defiant to authority, refusing to obey orders and policies. This is insubordination, and again, something that is condemned in Sharia. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages us in the Quran to, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu wa atiyu Allah wa atiyu Rasul wa ulil amri minkum. We are required to to obey Allah and the Messenger and those that are in authority over us, and in some way our employers and those who are our seniors and we report to in our employment are those who have been put in authority over us, and we are required to adhere to their orders and their requests, as long as it is not illegal or it's unreasonable. The last aspect is that of continuous professional and personal development. This is very important because a person, whichever capacity he serves in, it is necessary for him to stay up to date and to continuously learn new skills in order to do his job better or to serve in his to service his customers better. And we see that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was never afraid to adopt new techniques in doing what needed to be done in the best possible way. A simple example of that is the Battle of the Chams, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam adopted the suggestion of Salman radiallahu anhu to dig a trench in order to ward off the enemy. And this was something that was completely unknown. So we should, in our personal capacities and in managing others, ensure that we are continuously upskilling ourselves. Not seeking to further your knowledge is actually a violation of this aspect of the code of ethics. And people also, this also tends to arise from a sense of laziness, an attitude that I've studied enough. But this is actually contrary to the spirit of the code of ethics, and in general contrary to the spirit of the Sunnah.
Jazakallah for that, Malana. Now, how do we monitor, how do we manage this component as far as our individual capacities and organizations is concerned?
I'll just make two suggestions. The first is for the monitoring of performance. So in organizations, you should, every organization, no matter how big or small, should have a mechanism by which the performance of the staff members, even our senior management, should be monitored and managed. And where you note that a certain person is failing to perform in their duties, then the relevant steps are taken in order to rectify that. So that is very important, to have an effective system of monitoring and assessing the level of performance of staff members, which is often referred to as KPIs, etc., key performance indicators. The second thing that we must implement in our personal lives and in our organization is that of continuous personal and professional development. To have a constant drive to keep learning more, whether it's through formal learning or reading or informal learning, whatever it is, but we must take whatever little steps we can to continuously upskill ourselves. This will assist a business to service their customers better, to be up to date with the latest developments in the particular sector that they are serving in. And then in attitude as well, to continuously develop ourselves and our staff members in attitude. And this can be achieved by providing training for your staff members, getting people to come in and assess your staff members and motivate them in order to ensure that they learn skills. And this is actually something which will lead to staff retention, because a staff member who feels that they are, they are benefiting through learning new knowledge at the workplace, they'll definitely be more motivated and want to continue working for that particular employer. So these are just a few examples of what we can implement in achieving this quwa that is required.
Jazakallah for that, Malana. As Malana says, the important thing is all about implementation. It's good to know about all these ethics. It's good to know about all these codes of conducts. But the most important is to implement it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire us that we not just only learning on this program, but we are benefiting ourselves by practicing. We'd like to thank you for your time again, Malana. Hopefully we'll chat again next week.
Inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was Mulan Safwan Naflaki. He's taking us through this IOF code of ethics, which can be adopted by Muslim businesses, by accounting firms, legal firms, and that is as far as themselves as well as their staff in adhering to the highest Islamic standards. We're going through a series of four parts as far as the Adl and Ihsan equation is concerned. We went through two previously. Today we went through the third one, which was doing the right thing in the right manner. And hopefully, inshallah, next week will be the fourth of the series of 4 points. Marana will hopefully take us through the fourth part next week.